Let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, twice you have called your people to come to you, to be enriched through your words, to praise you, to glorify your name, in gratitude that the eternal Sabbath has already started when you gave your Son. And your Son died on the cross for our sins. That we look forward to the day when all will be in all, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, and we live and can live in all eternity with Him in everlasting peace. Father, we pray for your people. We pray that you will comfort, that you will strengthen, that you will bless. Lord, we thank you especially that Lummi can be here with us this evening. That she's out of hospital at home, but also that we can have the community and the fellowship with one another. We pray for Willem, that you will keep your hand upon him, that he soon can be home with his loved ones as well. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Life-giving rain. But also that we can have all hope in our risen Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Our Bible reading this evening comes to us from Psalm 65, the whole chapter. It's entitled, O God of Our Salvation. To the choir master, a psalm of David, a song. Commencing at verse 1 then, praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near, to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. The one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with the showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. This is the word of our Lord.
Our text verse 5. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. And the topic this evening, listen to the one who gives hope. Listen to the one who gives hope. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, one thing the lockdown has taught us is that we can survive almost anything, but we cannot live without hope. And we are weary, we're tired. And we were tired through this lockdown, but we still had a hope that this would end. And it will. Hope is how we live. Hope is what gets us from one day to the next. We live by hope, but when hope is gone, all joy and energy and courage are gone as well. Then life begins to fade. When hope goes, we start to die and are lifeless. And so our Bible reading this evening is about hope. It's the hope of rain in relentless drought. The prayer to life-giving rain and the worship and praise to the Lord when it was received. When the blessings of the Lord was received. And we have received life-changing rain. But also the lockdown was lifted. Or some restrictions. Not completely. Are we out? But we have hope. And we are able to meet in person. And the word is clear what we should do. We should give glory and honor and praise to the Lord. Return to Him in praise and honor His commandments. Israel, the most outstanding characteristic is drought. Except for a small bit of rain annually, about 200 millimeters, the sun shines day by day. We're burning hot coals from the cloudless sky and the bare rocks. The deserts in Palestine are not sandy deserts, but limestone areas with little vegetation, which is only possible if the dew moistens the vegetation. And that desert is unreceptive, as life can be as well. The image of hardship and struggle, and that's how hardship and struggle was portrayed in the Psalms as well. If you think of Psalm 84, but also how the earthly life without the Lord is as well. And in times of drought and times of suffering and pain, Israel came together on the Mount, Temple Mount in Zion, and they lamented. They prayed to the God of all hope for some relief. But there was also a big difference in coming back to the Lord after relief was given. When rain started, they went back to the Lord. They praised Him and they paid their vows. This is what every believer should do. After a time of suffering, we should return to the Lord to give thanks. King David confessed in verse 4, "Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple." And what we need to understand is that on a day like this, when the Lord calls, "Come to me," that it's such a blessing to come to the house of the Lord, to worship the Lord in unity with other believers, to meet Him, to be under His presence. And this was a recognition for the Israelites, but also for us. Sometimes we give many reasons why we can't come. Maybe the pastor, maybe this, maybe that. But when the Lord calls, we need to come. This is a confession, a privilege, that the whole of Israel with its beautiful cities, houses full of food supplies, and its water wells, its clusters of grape and olive groves that they received, that everything is from the Lord's hand. To praise the Lord in all good things and to be patient in adversity. Everything is out of grace alone. God cared for them as He still cares for us. And to find rest in the Lord. Like we confessed in the fourth commandment, doesn't mean that we should do nothing. But it means that we should come to the Lord if the Lord calls. To reflect that day. To study God's word. To thank God for the blessings in your life, your work, your family, to acknowledge that the Lord is the giver of health, strength, that we can complete our daily work, to be strengthened for the week to come. And to go to church and be God's church is also the acknowledgement that the Lord is in control of your life, to be there if the Lord calls, to worship Him. That it's not about you, but about the Lord. And so the church of Israel had to learn in Old Testament that your work, that your sweat, your food to the table is not a result of your power and your mind and your skill, but simply because of the Lord's blessings. And that we must seek His honor. That a worship services and to attend the worship services is part of our life of gratitude. The recognition that the Lord cares for us. And so this Psalm 65 was used in worship and thanksgiving services at a temple. After a relentless drought, Israel praised the Lord in verse 2. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. Come. I grew up as a farmer's child, and we were dependent on rain for our crops. In Africa, is relentless and vast. But I also remember as a child how we prayed to the Lord as a community. And how the whole community would come together at the school stadiums. And how we prayed to the Lord as a nation. And how the Lord was always faithful. I also remembered how we sang the psalm, especially when it started to rain. That's a precious memory. To come together as a nation, to come together as a church, to give glory to the Lord. And we should also return as a congregation, as God's people, as a nation, to the worship services, to say thanks. Now, places shouldn't be empty. Now, we should take note of the Word of God, take notice to the preaching, consider the fourth commandment, the keeping of the worship service, because in Christ the meaning of the term rest in the fourth commandment received significant attention. God gained for us the rest in Christ so that we can have all hope. Hope for His people. Hope for believers. And we should rejoice and be glad in the Lord every day of our lives. But especially on this day when we come together as His people. The day elected by the Lord, the Lord's day. The third day now, the day of Jesus' resurrection. The center of all hope. King David, who wrote the psalm, first gave praise to God for the atonement of his sins. And he gave honor to God for the glorious past of his people and also the miracles of the Lord. And he described creation. How the Lord is looking after everything. And then he confessed, this is Israel's Lord. This is my Lord. He visits the earth. He greatly enriches it. The river of God, we know it's the Jordan, is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it. Your water, it furrows abundantly, settling its riches, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. And when he looked at the nature, he said, everywhere the Lord's hand can be seen. He's there when he enriches the earth with rain. He speaks with majesty in all signs of nature, also with drought, also when there's earthquakes, thunder around the world. also this virus, and all these calls are a call to return to the Lord, to come to Him, to come to the true hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, to experience the true rest in Him. The rest of which the Sabbath spoke was promised to the people of Israel had come through the work and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the true rest. Those who believe in Jesus can partake in this rest. The greatest characteristic of the Lord, where He gives new life and where we need to praise and worship Him for that. The Lord that provides hope. Hope even beyond the grave. Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen. And so David says, "You crown the year with your bounty, your wagon tracks overflow with abundance, the pastures of the wilderness overflow, the hills gird themselves with joy, the meadows clothe themselves with flocks, the valleys deck themselves with grain, they shout and sing together for joy." And the Lord did this to a barren earth, but even more, He has done this with the blood and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see the brokenness and the spiritual barrenness of this world, where people live without hope, where we see how many people could not cope in this time of lockdown because they didn't have hope. They didn't know there's only one hope. That hope is Jesus. But we, His people, received the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It has sprinkled, resurrected us into the people of living hope. And His blood on the cross was the rain that ultimately brought life. This is what Ezekiel described in Ezekiel 37. That people without Jesus, without the Lord, is dead, dry bones, and they are the people without hope. And he asked, how could the people that's dead be alive again? And so Ezekiel was commissioned to preach for dead, dry bones. We could also think of how the earth looked after a drought, the bones of dead animals in the outback. We've seen that. The valleys, the plains. Without rain, there's no hope. That's the image of hopelessness. But this is also the image of being without the Lord. So Ezekiel was commissioned to preach to the Lord, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what a sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Preaching to dead people. How can it be that the Lord is still so compassionate to people who reject Him, broke His commandments? There's only one answer. Ephesians 2 verse 4 and 5, and this is love. But because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what life means. This is what life truly means. This is what it means to live in hope, to live in the Lord. And that's to have a relationship with God in Jesus. God said in Ezekiel 37 verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And it's by grace. By grace you are saved. Grace means mercy. Compassion for someone who doesn't deserve it. And God breathed new life into His people the same as He does to the barren earth through rain. And we can only look at the church history. Through Jesus, millions of people came alive through the centuries. They became a people of living hope. That was what Ezekiel was prophesied. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesying. There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to breathe, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what a sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army, the Lord's church. That was God's saving act in Christ. And as we read Psalm 65, verse 2, where it says, to you all flesh shall come, we think immediately of Ezekiel. The Lord, the hope, that all fill all the corners and the ends of the earth, and his gospel that gives hope. The rain that God sent to people without hope. We were also like that. Dead through the relentless drought of our sin, but in Christ we were made alive. This is what we need to hear time and time again. Come, the Lord calls in his compassion. Come to Christ where there's life. The Lord is risen. Christ was the ultimate rain to dead people, the ultimate hope. His blood on the cross was the life-giving rain to the hopeless. And through his resurrection, he brought us back to life. He cares for us, as he still cares for this earth. He's the hope that we need to proclaim to the hungry, the needy, the blind, the hopeless, those who lost everything and all hope. What should we do? When we see all these unbelief, all these sin in the world, but also closer to home, when we see how our children or grandchildren grow up without hope. Proclaim Jesus to them. Live Jesus to them. Be an example, Peter said this morning, so that you, through your conduct, can win them to the Lord. But do not forget, when it happens, when something big happens, when the Lord gives relief, to go back to the Lord, to praise the Lord, and to pay their vows. And we need to ask ourselves, are we still living like this? The shopping centers are full, but the churches are still empty. Do we give honor and thanks to the Lord for everything we have? Do we pay the vows we made to God with our baptism, our marriage, our profession of faith, the baptism of our children? Do we still thank God for the atonement of our sins through Jesus like David did in Psalm 65 verse 1? Praise is due to you, O God in Zion. And to you shall vows be performed. People so easily forget about the Lord. Like the 10 lepers, who Jesus healed, and only one came back. Because of that, they reject the only living hope, the life-giving Jesus. May it never happen to us. God made this a day of rest, and the Lord's work is the most important in this day, not your family, the Lord. And we are here to thank him. A meeting with God and his people. The Lord speaks to us in his word and sacraments. We respond in prayer and song as his people, the sheep of his pasture. He feeds our souls. He comforts us in times of distress, as he did through this lockdown. Diseases, where the world panic creates fear. But he strengthens our faith. And he builds up as the body of Christ. And we come, if the Lord calls, ready to hear, ready to receive, ready to please the Lord, willing to praise him and to act in gratitude. And if we serve God as he demands, give all glory to him, then this day is meaningful. It's not a burden, but it's a day of hope, where we live to glorify God, where we can go to the Lord for everything in prayer. And the Spirit and the Word will strengthen our faith. In Him we find rest and peace, and we can be assured that the Lord is governing His church. Do you desire this rest? Hear then His call. Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do not let the Lord's commandments, especially the fourth commandment, ever be a burden for you. Let us this be a day of festivity, day of rest, but also a day to say thank you, Lord. Let us be a sign of eternal rest that awaits us in Christ. And when you know what a Sunday is all about, that it's first to glorify the Lord, to say thanks after this lockdown, to say thank you for rain, to say thank you after every salary check you receive. Thank you, Lord. You will also understand that this day of rest that we are allowed to participate in, and you will look forward to the day when Jesus returns and we will live in His rest. And you will glorify God now already. Acknowledge that praise is due to Him. You will acknowledge the Lord's power, how He acted through this virus, that He kept us together. And we will also perform our vows. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, You called Your people. You called them to come to You. Sometimes there's so many excuses, so many things that we hold as excuses before You, the Holy One. Father, and we ask that You will forgive us. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings. We thank You, Lord, that we can come back as Your church and pay all our vows to You. Lord, You held us up this time of suffering, time of drought through this lockdown, when we couldn't meet physically as Your people. But we know what You expect from us, Lord. This is to say thank You. And we do this in the deepest humbleness. Thank You, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that when all restrictions are lifted, that Your people will come together as a day of all festivities, a day where we give glory, where we don't think about the holidays we will have, but how we can serve You. In Jesus' name, amen.